May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 331. Beset with snares on every hand, in life's uncertain path I stand. Saviour divine, diffuse thy light to guide my doubtful footsteps right. Hymn 331.
Let us read the Word of God, a few verses in the book of Job, the first chapter, the last few verses, and then read in the 42nd chapter of Job, and then reading in Matthew chapter 24. These last verses, friends, of the first chapter of Job. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this Job sinned not, neither charge God foolishly. And friends, the 42nd chapter, after all what is recorded in the many chapters, and after the speeches of Elihu, and then the Lord, and then Job answering the Lord. Chapter 42, the book of Job. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for thee, for him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them, and the Lord accepted Job, and the Lord returned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren, and all his sisters, and all that they had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that God had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Kezar, and the name of the third Karen Haprach. And in all the land was no woman found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died, being old and full of days. Thus far we read there, and now, friends, let us read part of the 24th chapter in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel, part of the first few verses, I think, to 13 of this 24th chapter, Matthew 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumours of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because of iniquity, shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he grant us prayer. O Lord God Almighty, thou great God Jehovah, the true and living God, the God in whom we live and move and have our being, the God with whom we have to do. Oh, do hear us now, O Lord in heaven, thy dwelling place. Oh, grant us to come and find access to thee, our God in heaven. Oh, Lord, for this we come pleading the precious name of Jesus, the name that thou, the Father, loves to hear thy children plead. Thy beloved Son, who stated, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So, Lord, do hear us. Oh, hear our poor prayers, Lord. Oh, may our prayer come up to thee. O Lord, our God, our advocate, our intercessor, our great high priest. And O Lord, as we know and believe thou art there, attending to thy holy offices, thou dear Son of God, sitting on the blood-sprinkled mercy seat at the right hand of the Father, oh, we come pleading thy precious name, pleading what thou hast done. And Lord, as we feel our prayer so poor, oh Lord, we do pray thou will. And may we believe this, that thou, Lord, will present our poor breathings to thy Holy Father, our Father in heaven, and Lord, may we be thus favoured to know we are accepted in thee, the Beloved. We plead thy blood and righteousness, we plead all what thou hast done. We come upon the grounds of mercy, Lord. Mercy through blood I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. And Lord, we come as sinners, hoping in thy mercy. We feel our sin and guilt, Lord. We feel our unworthiness. Lord, we feel this much. More and more we find we feel it, Lord. We cannot improve ourselves. Oh, we are sinners and in need of pleading for mercy for Jesus' sake. Mercy is our only plea, Lord. Without thy sweet mercy, Lord, we could not live here. Sin soon would reduce us to utter despair. Oh, we hope we can come feeling we are not in utter despair. Oh, we know the scope of the enemy is to cause despair. He would sink us in the doom, Lord. He is our adversary, our enemy. Oh, and we feel it, Lord, in the reality of it, mighty enemies without and more mighty within, and the world and the flesh and the devil. Lord, we come before thee, feeling even now for this service, much help needed. Oh, Lord, do come. Do come and help us. Help us each. Help us that we might know the favour of gaining thine ear and the favour of, Lord, thy granting us a prayer of faith. You know, as we read this morning that in the Epistle of James, and Lord, it states the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Oh, may we have the prayer of faith, Lord. And Lord, do come thus and see thy blessing to each soul here tonight. And know as how we felt led to speak, Lord, very separatingly at times in our discourse this morning. And there is knoweth, Lord, we've heard a discourse this afternoon also, a very separating preaching, Lord. Oh, Lord, how we need it. Yeah, we need, Lord, to be searched. Oh, we pray that we may, in the path of a pilgrimage, through much tribulation, and, Lord, with the trying of our faith, and with, Lord, the reality of our feeling much weakness. Oh, Lord, but, oh, we humbly hope we can acknowledge it by thy wonderful goodness and mercy. By giving us grace to persevere, and we humbly hope grace to endure, and we pray it may be proved in us each grace to endure to the end. Lord, oh, in these ways of thy favour. Well, one of the humorists says, with the help that he is giving, I can wrestle, I can fight. Oh, may we know this more and more, Lord. And Lord, oh, thy giving us strength. Yes, we have that to consider, Lord, of the enduring and the conflict. And Lord, the need of thy strengthening us. Oh, how we need to feed. How we need, as what it is with in the ways of ordinary battle in the time of conflict on earth. Oh, those that are well made as taught and trained as soldiers, Lord, they need to feed. And we think of it how it was even in the last World War. Even one's own father was involved in producing food to be sent to the troops. Lord, thou knowest. And all we humbly hope by grace we are soldiers of Christ. Oh, may we arise and put our armour on, and may we be wholly dependent upon thee, our glorious leader who's gone before. Oh, how thou fought and conquered. and with thy latest breath triumphed o'er the powers of hell and vanquished, dying vanquished death. We look to thee, our Lord. We pray for all needed grace and help. Thou knowest our need, Lord. Come, Lord, tonight, and do suit thy blessing to each dear soul here who feels the need of thee, doing for each and every one who really is truly in need of grace and help, Lord, do grant it. Do favour, feed souls here tonight. Strengthen them, Lord. Give them grace to endure. Oh, do help us each in the conflict, in the battle. Oh, Lord, may we know what we've read in Matthew's Gospel, the grace given, oh, to endure unto the end. Oh, Lord, oh, we beg we may be relying upon thee, looking unto thee, begging for that help thou alone canst give. And, Lord, that favour of faith, thy precious, blessed gift of faith to thy people, to believe, to enable them to believe. Lord, thou knowest, we beg for it, we need it, and we believe it's thy purpose in thy love and mercy to grant it. And so, Lord, do come, Lord. Thou knowest each case. Oh, we pray thou wilt bless the young people. Thou knowest they've had the Sabbath school this afternoon. Follow with thy blessing, Lord. Oh, may the dear young souls here be favoured according to thy will in their time and thy time. Oh, Lord, do bless them. May there be those things learned in the Sabbath school which shall be applied by the Spirit in that time of later years according to thy will. They may be able to look back and remember the things of those things, those blessed things taught. May it be as the beginning of the work, or could it be so in the Sabbath school that thou wilt begin thy work in precious souls? Lord, oh, we know it has been so, and we pray it may be so in further cases. Lord, thou knowest each one. And Lord, that there may be a generation that shall rise, growing up, Lord, in these solemn days. But Lord, oh, to be brought, to be taught in the way of the teaching of the Spirit, to be born again and blessed with thy teaching. Lord, we watch for it, we pray for it, that many souls may yet be brought even within the cause here, the cause of truth is Swavesey, Lord. Oh, they have a goodly congregation. There are the families, Lord. He was given dear children in the families, Lord. And, oh, Lord, as we had the favour of a conversation with a dear friend who we love in thy name, and it's relating to his family in the wonderful way of thy blessing. And, Lord, these families, Lord, how it is as in the psalm, the wife being as a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house, Lord. And Lord, too, we are concerned, and in love we pray for any that do not yet have this favour, who knoweth the hardness of those cases, Lord. We pray in love, according to thy will, that thou wilt grant thy favour, the blessed favour of increase, Lord, as is in that way in the family life, Lord, in the little church. Oh, Lord, do let thy work appear and bless souls within this court of truth, and constrain them by thy love, that they may come and tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found. Surely there are those here who should testify of what the Lord has done for my soul. Oh, may it be such a matter and concern and exercise to them, that they may be so constrained to come and say to the little church here, hinder me not, ye much loved friends. I must come with you. Lord, I think of how it was with my dear godly mother, when, as a handmaid of the Lord, in her early days, in her days in teenage and beginning to come into her 20s, Lord, and how thou didst constrain her, and how she lovingly, in a way, desiring to praise thee, testified it, even to me myself, Lord, her son, how she was drawn by thy love, and how she was able to say in the way, even to one of the deacons, even seeing him in the street, now my willing footsteps move in his delightful ways. Oh Lord, may it be so, thy people made willing in the day of thy power. Oh, could it please thee to be even a day of thy power this day, this evening hour? Oh, we beg thee it may be so, we beg according to thy will. So, Lord, do come. His dear friend has prayed, I believe, earnestly in the vestry, and his dear fellow deacon praying too, as we know he has done, Lord, thou knowest, as it is in the little church too. Oh, there is the labouring for souls. Lord, we do beg, hear the prayers of thy people, and may there be those blessed answers of peace. Lord, we remember friends in tribulation, friends in affliction. There are those we think of, my own cousin, the people of Chippenham, you know, in a low state he is now in his terminal affliction, Lord. But how blessed he is in his soul. Lord, thou knowest a recent visit to him. Oh, Lord, we do pray. We pray for each afflicted friend. There are those about the churches, Lord. We pray for them. Oh, thou hast wonderfully stated he will give grace and glory. Oh, Lord, we pray they may know it blessedly in the family circle. We think of our cousin, Lord, how they, his family, gather around his bed and listen to the service at Chippenham, Lord, as they do as a family. Oh, we thank thee this favour is given to our friend to have his dear family around him and all of the same mind and desire to worship thee and praise thee, their God. Oh, we pray, Lord, help us each in our family circles to know this favour. Grant it, Lord, we beg thee, to worship thee, oh, in kindred mind. And, oh, Lord, oh, there are those lost, Lord, we are carrying, begging thee to, in thy mercy, appear, to stop vile rebels in their wild career, to quicken them, to change them, to deal with them, to cause them to be brought to be in want and to need, to beg for mercy. Lord, do work. Thou knowest our burden, our concern. Oh, Lord, it is day by day. You're seeking for precious souls who are your loved ones. Lord, oh, we cannot give them up. Lord, hear our prayers. We pray and bless our loved ones and bless our friends and theirs. There are many of our friends who have similar case as regarding one and another. Perhaps in some families it's one has gone away and gone astray, one and another. But Lord, each are a great burden to dear parents and loved ones, Lord. Thou knowest, oh, they have a soul, and our burden is for souls. A burden, Lord, in the churches, oh, that thou would work in the earth, in this village, this area of population around the chapel here. Are there any, Lord, precious souls thou must bring, thou must deal with? Lord, oh, the friends here give witness, giving out the Bibles and making known the things they believe, Lord, and as in that way with the scripture notice, Lord, you know, as we do pray that as people walk by or pass by, they may read the word and be arrested by it. Lord, thou knowest, thou art able, thou wilt do thy will. We watch for it, Lord, we pray for it. Oh, and that thou wilt bless the word that is distributed in this way. Oh, they might read and the word may arrest them. The word may be so to them opened up, a different book to what they would see it with a natural eye. Lord, do bless thy word, bless and favour souls in reading the word of God. And so, Lord, help us now as we come to pray, to sing thy praise again, and then the sermon, the word in the word. Lord, do help us, we beg, and bless us each, and grant that there may be that done to thy honour and glory, even in this service, if it could please thee, Lord. Thou knowest one feels very poor and very insufficient, but may we prove that wonderful way of thy so appearing, that thy people may be able to claim it in faith, their sufficiency is of thee. May we prove it again, Lord, we beg thee. Hear our prayers for our country, our rulers, our Prime Minister, His Majesty the King. Oh, hear us, Lord, for all thy people throughout the world. Oh, those gathered for worship at this time, bless the assembly of thy people. Oh, may thy living family enjoy salvation, full and free. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1074. When, gracious Lord, when shall it be that I shall find my all in thee, the fullness of thy promise prove, the seal of thy eternal love. Hymn 1074.
Oh,
as the Lord may help me, friends, and friends only, as the Lord may help me. We feel much need of help to come before you again. But the same text, friends, the 11th verse in the 5th chapter of James, James Epistle, chapter 5, verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Friends, you know how we try to consider this wonderful favour this morning, the favour of God granting his people grace to endure. Oh, are we in the secret of it? Are you? Am I? Have you been pondering over what we tried to consider together this morning? Have you been meditating? Or has it just gone? Was there any solemnity in what we considered this morning? Was there any reality of the Lord using the preaching through a poor pipe of his word? Oh, have you been affected, even under the power of the Spirit, in the way we went this morning? How are you now? How am I? Oh, are we in feeling this favour of God granting us grace to endure? You know what you had to face. The enemy fierce against you. What you've had to experience. I hope I can acknowledge it, what I've had to experience in all the years of one's pilgrimage since 1958. All the things, all the changing scenes of life, in trouble and in joy, there's been times of joy. There's been times where God's favoured us. I mentioned to you that favour under Mr. Collier, in those words, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And another one was, and not that I want to speak a lot of myself, but it may be a help to you. It was the late Ron Sayers, the Lord's servant, Ronald Sayers. It was Biggleswade Chapel, the old chapel. And it was those words can be understood as I understood them, as the Lord applied them to me. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man more than the golden wedge of Ophir. Friends, let me put it to you, is he precious? Is Christ precious? I believe in the highest sense that is the blessed man the word speaks of. We know it related to Jerusalem, and now there were so few because of the captivity. There were so few that were left. And now it did come to pass literally that there were so few, a man more precious than fine gold in that sense. But friends, in the deep, the sense as relating how the Spirit gives that favour of application of the word in a way spiritually. And Jesus Christ, the God-man, the Saviour, the Redeemer, to his people by the Spirit is made more precious than fine gold. Can you say he is more precious far than life and all its comforts are? What think you of Christ, friends? If you're one of these who shall endure under the favours of God's grace, he must be made precious. Oh, the Lord will make his beloved Son more precious than fine gold. Oh, what is my life? And like we read, as Job acknowledged, how he came naked from his mother's womb and so on. and how we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can take nothing out. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's God teaching us, even in some measure, in the way he taught Job. And oh, is it, friends? And my mind goes to this line of things. You know, Job, we know, we've read many times through the book of Job. I have, you have, I expect. But you know, the thing that stands out to me, marching all the dialogue between those friends and then Elihu, and in all what Job said in reply, can you see how he was carrying self-righteousness? Oh, it is, of course, true what God says of him, a man who feared God and eschewed evil. And you may be, by the grace of God, a man that fears God and eschews evil. But what we have to be also brought to know and experience, God must strip us. He must strip us of our self-righteousness. And I can see it in the chapters, friends. It goes right through those many chapters. And it wasn't until where we read here this evening that Job acknowledged with that complete acknowledgement of his vileness, his state, his unrighteous state. He had to experience all he experienced that he might be stripped of his self-righteousness. But oh, in that stripping, and that stripping, friends, is God working, and it will be painful to the flesh. The flesh dislikes the way, but faith approves it well. But if you are being stripped of much of your self-love, your self-esteem, your self-righteousness, but in and with it, God's giving you grace to endure the stripping. It's painful experience, but he gives you grace to endure it. You know it's for your good. I hope I can acknowledge it like that, as God has dealt with me. It's been in the will of God for my good to be brought down, to be laid low, to be humbled by God, dealing with us, painful work, painful experience. But it's blessed experience, because it's in and by the will of God that he does these things as to and in and for his people. Oh, he makes them well their vileness to know. And you desire it, really. If you've once known some of it, something of it, you want to be humbled and made to feel it more. Because it's when you really feel your state and case, that really you need Christ, and he is most precious to God's people who are well convicted and convinced of their sin. Oh, the prayer, the desire that is put in that way in verse, convince us of our sin, then lead to Jesus' blood, to our wondering view reveal the secret love of God. You know, we won't desire that, we won't pray for that from the old natural heart. It's that which is given by the Spirit in exercise in the new man of grace. Convince us of our sin. And I've always felt being convinced of sin is even more than being convicted of sin. God brings conviction of sin in the experiences of his people. And upon that, they are brought to be convinced. And to be convinced is really, friends, to be aware of and convinced and informed and made to know that you deserve the punishment due for your sins. But friends, this is the way of the Spirit, to bring sinners unto Christ. It's those that know and feel they deserve the punishment for their sins, and that would be in hell forever. Oh, this is the wonders in the gospel, that Christ, the Son of God, has come and he's bore all our sins in his own body on the tree. He's bore the punishment instead. Oh, the way of salvation is by divine substitution, the perfect purpose and will of God to so give his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Behold, we count them happy that endure. And under all the onslaught of Satan, the warfare that he wages against God's people, the wonderful favour of God-giving grace. And like I said, I think in prayer, it's a sweet and precious word to my dear one and myself. It was so precious to us at one of our most hardest times in our experiences, given by the Spirit, I trust, that we could, as it were, lay hold of it. He will give grace and glory. He will, friends. Oh, I believe it. I preach it. I know it, and I preach it. I trust I know it. He will give grace and glory. And if you're a child of God going along in your pilgrimage journey, and it is by the wonderful work of the Spirit in you that he is preparing you for that prepared place in heaven, you're on pilgrimage, you're journeying, like we sing, we are journeying home to God in the way the Father's trod. They are happy now and we, soon their happiness shall see. Oh, it's by grace, that grace that God gives, that persevering and enduring grace that enables us to journey on in the pilgrimage journey. We count them happy, which endure. We count them happy. But now too, friends, coming to the further words, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. You know, not that we would criticise Job's words, not from our own thoughts and reasoning of them. But it is clear in many of the statements he made, they were not all gracious statements, friends, by a long way. He said, in answer to those friends, he said, I'm not inferior to you. He said, think of that. So what was he thinking? What was he claiming? And how are you and how am I? You may even say that to a fellow child of God. I'm not inferior to you. See, there sadly is from our old nature a solemn confidence that's wrong. A confidence that's wrong. We have wrong words, wrong thoughts, wrong opinions. And all that is in the old nature. We have wrong claims. And I believe God will deal with us to show us that we've got these wrong claims, these wrong statements, wrong ideas. Is the Lord sanctifying you? Is he dealing with you? But in and under it all, and Satan taking advantage, and the conflict, and Satan's temptations, who he tempts and harasses and dismays the children of God, allowed to, God is not the author of sin. He has a perfect purpose and will to allow Satan to do a lot. This is in God's holy wisdom. He allows the enemy to attack his children, but he knows, and he's commanded him. God, his mighty power of his voice, commanded Satan, touch not his life. Oh, he could not. He was hedged. He was chained by God, but he was allowed to do such a lot, and he may be allowed to do such a lot to you, but ye have heard of the patience of Job and seen, and it says here, it's very specific, these words, ye have heard of the patience of Job and seen, ye and have seen the end of the Lord, meaning the Lord's purpose, what the Lord has in his holy mind, it shall appear and be in the experience as it was in Job. It will be in every one of God's people. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, meaning God's will and purpose of his, what he will bring to be in the lives and experiences of his people, the end of the Lord, his will, his purpose. Oh, friends, can you consider this in your personal case? Is it so here, like it is stated in this general epistle, ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord? And of course we read the end of that first chapter, and we know all that content of that chapter, those terrible things that came and the great loss Job sustained. And here he was then after that, and we read those few verses, and then we went on to the end of the book, and oh, here he was then. Oh, how he was blessed, and how God so brought that to be, that he was in a more favoured state, even double of what he had before he had that great loss he had. And the way he was in the state of his soul, in a spiritual state, he was blessed, he was humbled, he was broken down, he was in a gracious state. And you see, like it here also says, how the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. You know, God, a holy, holy, holy God, who cannot look upon sin without abhorrence, complete abhorrence, he's merciful. He's pitiful. Oh, here we read of it, that wonderful statement in Psalm 103, where it's stated, and this is what you need and I need to know. The statement is, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Oh, how God, your heavenly Father. Friends, oh, are you led into knowing these favours and knowing in and by experience how God, your heavenly Father, deals with you, how he favours you, how he teaches you, how he applies everything that's needed for you to help and bless and sanctify you. He's very pitiful. Oh, yes. He's of tender mercy. Oh, his mercy. Oh, the mercy of the Lord. Oh, how merciful our God is. He doesn't cut us off, friends. He doesn't cast us away. Though we have given him to feel, we're giving and showing so many requitals of his love and grace, but he doesn't. He's long suffering and of tender mercy, our God is. Oh, our loving heavenly Father is merciful. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. You know, for this, you need the eye of faith. Has God given you the eye of faith? All that you can see and understand and realising in the way of his giving understanding and heavenly wisdom what he's doing, what he's doing in you and for you, what God is effecting in your life and experience. Oh, is there the reality of the wonderful grace of God given you in exercise? Is there that is surely known and given you to believe and in the favour of receiving grace for grace, has he given you the grace of life? What will prove the grace of life is the grace of faith in exercise. The favour of living, believing in God, believing also. Ye believe in God, the Son of God said, believe also in me. And that, as the Lord, when he was going away, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Think of your God and your Saviour in heaven. Is he there? Do you have hope he's there preparing a place for you? And that he'll come again and receive us unto himself. Oh, for this, he must maintain us. He must keep alive our souls. He must give us grace to endure. He must give that strength needed. And you know, as we have, we hope in that we've experienced, we have acknowledged it together here, that there is the battle, the conflict. And I think of it, there it is, as I know of it in natural things. Of course, the last great conflict, the Second World War, was a terrible time. All our many troops were fighting, many of them away, some even in the Far East. And in those theatres of war, and of course, what was so needed was the supplies to be sent and the good food that was sent and shipped out to those battlefields where the soldiers were to be fed and a good army, active and successful army must be fed and to be in health, to be nourished. Think of your battle, your conflict. You need feed, you need food, bread from heaven. You need the Lord to supply you with every grace and every favour. You need food for your soul. Oh, you need a strengthening. The only way you can endure is by God strengthening you, keeping you in a lively exercise to persevere and to endure. And have patience, and it's healthy souls who have patience. It's souls blessed with the supplies of grace that they may persevere. Oh, do you know, do I know, these favours of God supplying us with grace and help and strength for the battle? We know it's stated in the word, I've girded thee with strength under the battle to endure and to fight the good fight of faith. The child of God needs to be nourished and built up in their most holy faith. And oh, in this sacred, blessed, wonderful favour of it, as God so favours his people, he blesses them to feed upon Christ, to partake of him. The way of enduring, friends, is by faith. The way of continuing and in the way of persevering, it's a healthy soul. It's a well-favoured soul. A soul that is nourished and built up and who in this way is receiving grace for grace. And friends, thus, how is it with you? Do you feel you need food for your soul? Has God given you even to partake of any of those wonderful royal dainties on the gospel table? Oh, I think of how it was with Ruth when she was gleaning in the fields of Boaz. Boaz said to her, "At meal time, come thou hither." And then he stated what he did, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and went out, left, and went on gleaning, I expect. Friends, are you in the field of Boaz, your heavenly Boaz? Are you a gleaner? What a heavenly field, what handfuls it contains. What strength and comfort gleaners get to recompense their pains. Yes, there'll be pains, there'll be affliction, there'll be tribulation. But the Lord gives strength. He strengthens. He feeds his people. He feeds his people like a flock. He's a good shepherd. Oh, he does grant to his people all they need. Oh, favour indeed to feed upon Christ, to partake of him. Oh, to live in this way, well nourished, well blessed, favoured. Oh, to be in the favour of spiritual health. Friends, according to our sin, the ways of our old nature, we can be so much in illness and under affliction. But oh, when the Lord in great mercy blesses us to be built up in our most holy faith, blessed to be in the favour of believing in Jesus and even partaking of him, feeding upon him, the Paschal Lamb, then we are strong, we are strengthened. Oh, we can go on, we can wrestle, we can fight, we can endure, friends. We shall endure to the end with the grace God gives. No other way. It's him, it's following him, it's relying upon him. And friends, for this, and this feeding upon Christ, I believe the Holy Spirit will lead God's people to Calvary, to see their Lord there, to see him by faith, to know he has given his own life a ransom for us. Oh, to see him in Gethsemane and Calvary. Oh, to hear his cries from the cross to his Father that were not answered, because he was made sin for us who knew no sin. And God the Father hid his face from his beloved Son, as according to the holy will of God Jehovah, he was there in the sinner's place, suffering all that wrathful anger, that punishment instead of the church, bearing sins in his own body on the tree. And, oh, I think of it, I've thought of it so many times over the many years. How we know the Lord cried out, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, the way the Spirit, I trust, has revealed it to this poor sinner. You know, it's because her sins were laid on the Saviour. There was no answer from heaven, from God the Father. Certainly not recorded in the Word, and I believe there was no answer. He was made sin for us, friends, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And oh, surely it's the favour of believing, of having by the Spirit these wonders of redeeming love applied to us, that we endure. We never endure without the favour of seeing Jesus. The Word says, made a little lower than the angels for the sufferings of death, crowned with glory and honour. He has tasted death for every man, meaning every one of God's dear people. And oh, the Spirit so seals redemption to the people of God. Do you know this favour, friends? Of God's blessed favour to you. We count them happy which endure, and you, if you are favoured in this favour with enduring grace, being helped and undertaken for by the Lord, giving you all the grace you need that you may endure hardness, as we quoted this morning, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, surely there's this blessed evidence. God so loves you, and his purpose of love and mercy for you is he will have you for his eternal praise in heaven forever. And in this way he's preparing you, giving you that grace to endure and to persevere and to be patient unto the coming of the Lord. Oh, the patience of Job set as an example. And oh, we can read of that as we have part in the context and all those chapters in between. Friends, have you heard of him in the way by the Spirit giving you to consider of the patience of Job and seeing the end of the Lord and how the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy? Oh, there's a hymn, a sweet hymn on the tender mercies of our God. Friends, are we led into that blessed feeling of favour under the tender mercies of our God? Tender mercies. He's tender, he's kind, he's loving. How he deals with his people. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Oh, he ever deals in mercy, love and mercy, and tenderness. Oh God, your Heavenly Father, the Lord, our Heavenly Father, is tender. Think of the tenderness of the Son of God and the way the Blessed Spirit gives the child of God to experience the favours under the tender mercies of our God. Friends, how we are humbled, we are melted in gratitude the way God deals with us. Oh, he deals with us so different to what we do in our way of dealing with him. We are so sadly, solemnly shortcoming in every way, the way we act before God, our Heavenly Father, but he doesn't cut us off. He, in mercy, attends to our cases, supplies our need, grants us grace, those supplies of grace, that we may persevere. And friends, think of it as we sing of it. His heart is made of tenderness. His bowels melt with love, touched with a sympathy within. He knows our feeble frame. He knows what sore temptations mean. But he has felt the same. And think of that, friends. That wonderful word in Hebrews. We have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, for he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And we know, of course, the record of how the adversary, the tempter, took him up onto the high mountain and onto the pinnacle of the temple and tempted the Lord. And it was solemnly, actually, that he tempted the Lord Jesus Christ to take his own life in that way by casting himself off of the pinnacle of the temple. But oh, how he was able to resist. But friends, you and I are not able to resist, not ourselves, we're not able. But I count them happy that endure the temptations of the adversary. And I had an experience when the devil tempted me to take my life. And the Lord appeared in a moment, in a very vital moment, and delivered me from the snare of the fowler. Oh, the tender mercies of our God, his loving kindness, his tender mercies, his loving kindness, oh, how great, his loving kindness, oh, how free. Friends, he pitieth his people. In this way, it's the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. You may have specially felt this at a very solemn time, proved this at a very solemn time of temptation. Oh, that you was able to endure the temptation. And friends, surely it's this, here it was, through him that loved you and gave himself for you. He coming at the moment, delivering you from the snare of the fowler. And so you was able to endure. You was able to persevere. You was able, as Job was, all those many times of dialogue of discussion and things that were said. And we know how the Lord dealt with those three friends, even after they were told by God that they had not been as Job had been. Oh, it was the grace of God in Job, how he was. But friends, oh, this favour then, to see the end of the Lord and have seen the end of the Lord. Of course, here it's the apostle. The apostles, I expect, as James had his fellow labourers. But you know, it was how ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. The apostles saw it, but it's the individual souls, the children of God, those to whom even the letter is addressed, as we read in the beginning of it, the people of God. And so tonight, friends, is this word by the Spirit applied to you, each one of you, you individual ones, of, we hope, God's dear people, ye have heard. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and seen the and have seen the end of the Lord. Is it so, friends? Ye, you individuals. May I carefully say that? I don't want to in any way stand above you. I'm a sinner, nothing at all. Feel it, friends. Is it a word to me? Ye have seen the end of the Lord. Ye have, as it says, ye. Regarding these people it's addressed to. But oh, is it addressed to you and to me, friends? Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. I mean, each one of you individually, personally, as I feel I have to deliver it, and even to myself, ye have seen the end of the Lord. Is there that reality that we are given to know that God is dealing with us as with sons, as his sons and daughters? And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Oh God, your Heavenly Father, the Son of God, your elder brother, the Saviour, the Redeemer, the end of the Lord in all what God the Father gave his Son to come and do, and the work of the Spirit in God's people, accomplishing the will of God in his people, the end of the Lord, to save his people, to save the church, to prepare each individual one for heaven, for glory, for the praise of God forever and ever. The end of the Lord, the will, the purpose of the Lord regarding his people. The Lord's portion is his people. And it's said in the book of the prophet, Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, led him about, instructed him, kept him as the apple of his eye. Are you in the favour of that? As Jacob was, as God's people each and all are, am I? Oh, yea, yea, I've seen. Oh, friends, Behold, we count them happy which endure, yea, have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And so, friends, we led on, we journey on, we hope we can say we're among those who journey home to God in the way the Father's trod. They are happy now, and oh, with faith given, we can, I hope, humbly acknowledge it. Oh, home to God in the way the Father's trod. They are happy now, and we soon their happiness shall see. I remember back a sermon we preached here, and I finished by saying those words, which are a verse of him, I shall soon be landed on yonder shores above. I felt it then. We feel it tonight. We desire it for every one of you, that you might so be in faith, blessed to feel and have the eye of faith to behold the prospect. Canaan's goodly land in view, and realms of endless day. As I mentioned, Mr. Parrish's preaching last Thursday evening, and it was, it's relating to the swellings of Jordan, and oh, there's no way over out of Christ. It must be the favour of being brought to be living, believing in him, that he has gone through death for his people, tasted death for every man. Oh, and that we, by faith, favoured in believing in him, living upon him, and he, God, granting grace for us to persevere and to endure, and to carry the cross that he's given us, whatever it is, that we may get safely home as we continue our hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And so, friends, we come to the amen. I feel we've come so very short. The Lord knows my poor ramblings. I hope there's something that has been applied to some of you by the Spirit. The Lord bless you and keep you. Cause his face to shine upon thee. Be with you all, is my heart's desire. And us, we leave the word with you. Oh, but oh, I, in my heart's desire that you may know that true happiness, oh, that holy joy and peace in believing, which God does grant his people to know and experience. Oh, it's not all tribulation, it's not all sorrow. There are the favours of joy, but joy is a fruit that will not, cannot grow on nature's barren soils, but in the hearts and souls of God's people. There are times when God favours his people with holy joy and peace in believing. And I pray for this for each of you. It may be your favour, as I hope I can say I've known something of it. I desire it for all my hearers, that we may be blessed to say, and we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Timothy Parrish is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and next Lord's Day, Mr. Paul Austin is expected to preach. and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. And the TBS Auxiliary Annual Prayer Meeting will be held tomorrow evening at Clifton. Let us close with hymn 511. 511. In all my troubles and distress, the Lord my soul does own. Jehovah does my griefs redress and make his mercy known. Hymn 511.
Up to the friends any in any way thou hast thy holy purpose to, above our poor ramblings, Lord. Do them good, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Give them all needed grace. Lead them on, Lord. Lead in that way everlasting. Lead us each in it, Lord. We beg. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.